A week solidarity Bricky Team listener when caring employers expressed deep concern after the Fair Work True Blue Aussie No Longer Work Choices Just Looked Like It Commission awarded the lazy avaricious lowest of the low paid a 5.75% increase to their lowest of pay, heeding the caring employers' concerned timely warnings, pleas that allowing workers pay to maintain their standard of living would destroy their standard of living and the standard of living of all of us. Commissioner Hatchett, the workers, saying this was all the economy could bear, which might explain why, despite their stated concern, caring employers looked very pleased with themselves. The decision showing fairy tales are fairy tales, like the tortoise beating the hare, when in real life the runaway inflation hare has streaked away from the struggling, toiling tortoise. Although the fairy tale tortoise had one advantage over the lowest of low paid, it had its home stuck on its back, rather than having less buying power stuck on their backs. We asked the wisest and most knowledgeable of the caring employers, our old mate, the True Blue Aussie Industry Profits Group Supremo Innes, will cost the workers his expert opinion. This will cost jobs and will definitely flame inflation. So workers will fall even further behind Innes. It's their own fault for being so greedy and selfish. But Innes, notice the filthiest rich of the filthy rich have doubled their wealth over the past 2 years. Which shows the value of hard work. The lowest of low paid should learn from them. No, we would have liked an increase somewhere south of 5.75%. How much south it is? Well, roughly 5.75%. And yet, ignoring this expert knowledge, that out-of-control fast food and retail evil union boss, Josh Cohenan, attacked the decision as inadequate, pushing workers further behind. Where is he coming from? So aren't we lucky we have experts who understand the intricacies of the greatest little economic order of them all to provide the solutions we ignoramuses, well, I won't assume you, listener, but ignoramus workers and evil unionists and, yes, me, to provide the solutions we need, like reserve losses, bank supremo, Ian, lay the workers low, who has solved all the problems. Workers must be out of work, and those not out of work must take a pay cut, and then inflation will be solved. But you've been increasing interest rates month after month, and inflation keeps going up. That's because not enough workers are unemployed, and those employed earn too much. You haven't thought caring employers and the caring business class putting up their prices might have a bit to do with it, Ian? No, because that is a typical fallacious argument of those who have no comprehension of economic principles, selfish, overpaid workers who refuse to be unemployed, and the evil union officials who, with a few welcome exceptions, refuse to work with caring employers for the common good. If inflation keeps soaring and wages remain depressed, how are wages causing inflation, Ian? Clearly, if the price of labour increases, that is inflation. But if they don't increase, workers keep falling further behind. And if they do, inflation will be even higher. Selfish workers can't have it both ways. By the way, Ian, given banks are a license to print money, a private mint, how come the Reserve Losses Bank doesn't make a profit? It is fair to say we have had a run of bad luck. But in his relentless desire to make life better for all of us, Ian has solved the housing crisis. All live together. Problem solved. One big national home. No, that's silly, but I've heard you've got 5 bedrooms, Ian. How many in housing crisis can you accommodate? None. None of my friends are in housing crisis. But good news. The week that was has come up with an even better contribution based on Ian's invaluable solution. See, there's halls and community spaces all over our municipalities, and the unemployed needed for a healthy economy and low-paid workers needed for a healthy economy who can't afford the inflationary rents, let alone inflationary house prices, and mortgagees who can't meet the ever-increasing interest rates, and which have worked such a treat in addressing inflation and also end up on the street, then let's bring back the poorhouse. convert all these halls, community centres, I'd even suggest parks and gutters, except these people should be kept out of sight of couth civilised people like Ian. Convert them into huge poorhouses and give each person a sleeping bag to throw on the floor at a most reasonable rental cost. And if they can't afford that, well, get a job, I say. Although, of course, many of them have got a job. Their wages are the issue causing all these problems, so don't get a job. Oh, it's so complicated. Anyway, adopt this extension of Ian's great idea, and that's the last we'll hear of a housing crisis. Yet there's speculation the government won't reappoint Ian in September, but the caring business class party has wished him well and said they hope he is reappointed, because like us, listener, they know what a success story he has been. In truth, Ian's inspired solution, the poorhouse, is a backup to the real housing crisis solution the wise heads of the honourable property industry advise: housing supply. Get rid of all the red tape and environmental nonsense and nonsense interfering objectors and just build more housing. Just a bit of a pity, then, that a think tank called Prosper, interesting name, Prosper study showed increasing supply did not increase rental availability, and it goes without saying, affordability. But what would they know compared to the property industry? Those hoping the state socialists could take decisive steps to address the housing crisis can take solace from the revelation this week that more than half the socialist MPs, including lots of ministers, own heaps of investment properties. Most state Labor MPs are property barons, the True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review headlined. That must explain all they're doing to make life easier for renters. Real socialist values. On admirable values, we've noted how great corporate citizen Santosas the Prophets had a conversion on the road to environmental destruction after declaring Tiwi Islanders were not relevant persons in relation to Santosas wanting to run a pipeline through their waters, but being told by the federal court, well, yes, they are relevant persons and you have to consult them. Suddenly it's advertising how much it just loves Terra Nullius non-people, although that love doesn't run to it fracking the Beetaloo Basin, where the local Terra Nullius non-people object vehemently, but alas, are obviously not relevant persons in their own country. But that love extended this week by company supremo Kevin Gallag, don't hear them, who said Santosas can't quite say yes on a voice referendum because it might allow the Terra Nullius non-people it now loves to delay mining projects even more than the economy-crippling delays they already face. See? Admirable values. Oh, and the ads say the Barossa gas project running through Tiwi Island waters has, quote, proposed control measures to seek to reduce any impacts and risks to, and here's the bit we find interesting, listener, impacts and risks to as low as reasonably practicable at an acceptable level. Now, a definition of reasonably practicable and to whom an acceptable level is acceptable wouldn't have gone astray. Some long-haired commie greenies might even suggest it's actually an admission of impacts and risks of pollution, but fear not, it's odds on they'll get their permit. With conditions, of course, which Kevin and the gang would never dream of ignoring, because they know our environmental authorities are so dedicated and assiduous. Why, they even wrapped a major polluter over the knuckles back in, oh, I can't quite think of the year, 19-something it was, but the important thing is they did it. That's why Kevin and the pollution behemoths shake in their boots whenever environmental protection is mentioned. One voice on The Voice this week, Deputy Caring Business Class Party Supremo Susan Lees and Dregs, told Parliament she will vote no with a heavy heart. Well, Susan, let's suggest one way you can avoid a heavy heart. That bastion of democracy and fair play, the AFL, decreed the accused in the so-called racism scandal had no case to answer, and therefore it would impose penalties on Hawthorne. Let's check that. They did nothing wrong, therefore we'll have to penalise them. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, what is your verdict? Not guilty, Your Honour. Accused, please stand. The jury has found you not guilty. 10 years hard labour. Although, Not sure the terra nullius non-people involved in the political football issue would consider there was no case to answer. On cases to answer, wondering when those trained killers named 3 years ago as worthy of investigation over war crimes and murder in Afghanistan will be charged. 3 years and still nothing. It must be very complicated. And we thought the evidence was pretty clear. Thus, spare a thought for poor and maybe about to get much poorer, depending on where costs end up, Ben Robbers Smite Them, whom His Honour concluded just may have been involved in a bit of all that, plus domestic violence. I got the feeling halfway through the protracted defamation trial, as the evidence mounted, Ben just may have been regretting suing the media in the first place. But in the "Did I hear that correctly? Could you repeat that department?" Troubler was his number one train killer, Angus Dumbbell, warned our father country, the US, of the UN, of the US, of the world, could refuse to cooperate with Troubler was he on train killing because of war crimes and abuses of human rights. Let's repeat that. The US of abhors war crimes and abuses of human rights. The US of. Then why the hell is Julian Assange rotting in an isolation cell in London? With similar logic, the tax department said it could not report to government ministers what it knew for years about PwC, for pricks with confidentiality, making trillions by breaching confidentiality, because the department was bound by, wait for it, by confidentiality. Satire can't compete. Those Lord Rupert of Wapping ads for his Troubler Aussie trading with the big red Troubler Aussie up the top, slogans for the informed reader, with which we have to agree, because only the informed reader would be guaranteed to know, it's all total crap. In the Doesn't Our Heart Bleed For Them department, private schools are complaining that having to pay tax would force them to charge parents even more. Oh dear, what more can we say? Doesn't our heart bleed for the poor dears and for poor Ben? So finally, if every Troubler was he popped a dollar into the Help Killer War Criminal Ben appeal, it would almost pay his legal bill. Oh, let's say how we really feel. Couldn't happen to a nicer, could it? Good morning.